At the beginning of season 4 of Downton Abbey, you know this, right? Lady Mary is reeling from the untimely death of her husband, Matthew, from a car accident. It's been 6 months since he died, and she is incapacitated by grief. Lady Mary's father, Robert, the Lord Grantham, loves his daughter very much and wants to protect her. He is distressed at her distress and wants to do all he can do to minimize it by keeping her away from any of the possible sharp corners that might be in the world. Robert's mother and Lady Mary's grandmother, the Dowager Countess, disagrees with what Robert is doing. Robert and his mother, Violet, have the following exchange. Robert says of his daughter, Mary, she is broken and bruised, and it is our job to keep her safe from the world. To which Violet replies, no, Robert, it's our job to bring her back to the world. Two very different ways of addressing the vulnerability that comes with life. Robert sees Mary as fragile and responds by wanting to protect her, cushion her, tuck her away. Violet sees Mary's fragility and wants Mary to encounter life. She doesn't want Mary to deny her grief or to avoid her grief, but she does want to help Mary to understand that her grief is part of her living, that vulnerability is part of life, and even so, to still step into life. To be alive in the world is to suffer, is to experience vulnerability and fragility. And we want to protect ourselves and our loved ones from all of this. When you have a kid, so I hear, not having one myself, you baby-proof your home when one is on the way, right? I tried to cat-proof our home, that didn't really work. When I was 2 years old, my dad and I were at the playground, and we were playing on the slide, and my dad was running around the back of the slide, lift me up, put me out the top of the slide, and then he'd run around the front, and I'd slide down, he'd catch me, and he'd run on the back of the slide, he'd put me at the top of the slide, and he'd slide down, he'd run down, and catch me, and he'd put me up at the top of the slide, and he'd run down to the front, and I had fallen off the side. And in those days, they paved playgrounds with concrete. And I landed on my head wound, lots of blood. So Dad picks me up, runs home, freaked out that, oh my gosh, he says to my mom, I broke the kid. Until I fell off of a ladder a couple of years ago, right out there, my skull was the only bone in the body that I've ever broken. And you're saying to yourself, yeah, that explains a lot. He was dropped on his head when he was young. And I respond, yes. And they don't tend to do concrete playgrounds anymore. Not that my family and I launched an anti-concrete playground campaign or anything, but people just want it so that if our kid is going to take a fall, we want there to be a soft landing. We want to reduce vulnerability. And yet we behave in ways and do things that create and increase vulnerability too. And here I'm thinking of all the laws that are passed or on their way to being passed that threaten transgender people, especially transgender youth and children. The American Civil Liberties Union is currently tracking 378 anti-LGBTQ bills in the United States. 378. This past week, the UU minister, Reverend Sarah LaWall, who's minister in Boise, Idaho, had a piece published in the Idaho Statesman, and the title of her opinion piece is, I am an Idaho parent saving my transgender child's life. I am not a criminal. There is enough fragility and vulnerability in life without us actively creating more. Going through wintertime itself is reminder enough of our fragility. In wintertime, all life is on that knife edge between life and death, says the Dr. Robin Wall Kimmerer, the director of the Center for Native Peoples and the Environment at the SUNY College of Environmental Science and Forestry, just down the thruway there in Syracuse. In her words, winter is a teacher of vulnerability. And the critters around here do a good deal of work to prepare for that winter, to reduce their vulnerability, and we listen to the weather forecasts and we bundle up, and we can never eliminate vulnerability. Simply to have a wish, a desire, is to be vulnerable to disappointment. What matters is coming into healthy relationship with the vulnerability and the fragility that comes with being a living, mortal being. And figuring out that relationship is something that I'm pretty much always working on. Figuring that out became especially important to me the summer that I spent as a chaplain at a hospital in Boston. That summer, very early on my training to be a minister, it became really clear that being a minister means not just encountering fragility, but seeking it out. That summer, I held the hands of cancer patients, people with heart disease, people whose partners had just died of heart attacks, people who had just been in car accidents and motorcycle accidents. I sat with gunshot victims and their families and their friends. I held in my arms a stillborn baby. I sat with people in the grip of nervous breakdowns, depression, and people not knowing what was going on, waiting, hoping for the doctors to just figure it out. I sat with a mother who was at her wit's end over her 20-something daughter slowly being taken from her by a degenerative disease. She had a smile on her face whenever she was interacting with her daughter, but once when I was visiting and her daughter was asleep, I asked if she might want to talk outside of her daughter's room, beyond earshot, out of sight of her daughter. And we walked around the corner to where there was a group of chairs there, and her face just broke. "It doesn't make any sense," she said. "It's not fair." And I said no, my heart breaking along with hers. It's not fair, not fair at all. In order to get from where I lived in the Boston area into the hospital, it took a couple of big walks and a couple of rides on the T, and so I would listen to podcasts a lot on that way. And one day I heard an interview with someone named Xavier Le Pichon. He's a geophysicist. I had never heard his name before, but he had some ideas that, well, they didn't make encountering fragility any less of an emotional experience for me, but it did give me kind of a way to think about and feel about fragility and vulnerability that gave fragility a kind of a place in the world that made a sort of sense. Usually, I think life is fragile. Listening to Le Pichon made me wonder if I should turn that phrase around. What if fragility is what enables life? In 1966, when Xavier Le Pichon was 29 years old, he put together data and ideas from the past 50 years of geophysics and came up with a model that described how the Earth was made up of tectonic plates and how they moved. With Le Pichon's model, plate tectonics became then the standard accepted theory for how the surface of the Earth is put together. He came up with that in 1966. That's the year I was born, so I never knew any other world than a world made up of plate tectonics, and it kind of blew my mind to think that before then, there were scientists that thought, no, the continents don't move. They had ideas that were called fixist. Le Pichon says, actually, the Earth is an extraordinary living being with the motions of the oceans and continents continuously changing, evolving. And this was a tremendous shock to all these fixist ideas. Instead of ours being a static world, Le Pichon's data told him that Hawaii is getting closer to Tokyo by 8 centimeters a year. Le Pichon says, I was very, very impressed by one of these things, which is the way earthquakes are fabricated, which is in the lower layers of the earth where the temperature is high. Then the defaults that are within the rocks are activated, and the rocks are able to deform without fracture and become what we call ductile. They flow. But when the temperature is low and cold, cold like in the upper few miles of the earth, they are rigid, and these weaknesses cannot be expressed. And as a result, the rocks are much more resistant, much more rigid, and they react by reaching their limit of resistance, and suddenly you have a major commotion and an earthquake. So what jumps out to me from that is earthquakes are the result of a failure of rocks to express their weakness. And yes, I am thinking about the horrific earthquakes in Turkey that have killed so many thousand people. The rocks and the buildings built on those rocks couldn't express their weaknesses, and the result is catastrophe. Le Pichon is a geophysicist, but he thinks his ideas apply to people and communities too. He says, I find it's very often the same thing in community. Communities which are very strong, very rigid, that do not take into account the weak points in the community, the people who are in difficulty and so on, they tend to be communities that do not evolve. And when they do evolve, it's generally by a very strong commotion, a revolution, I would call it in French, him being French. In other words, the community that centers itself on the weak, the more it acknowledges and expresses fragility and vulnerability as at the core of what it's about, at the core of humanity, the more easily that community evolves. Le Pichon wrote an essay called Ecce Homo, Becoming Human. And in it, he talks about how society changes when the one who is most fragile is placed at the center of that society. And in that essay, he talks about a discovery in the 1950s of a skeleton of a Neanderthal man. Ralph Selecki is the one who found the skeleton. This man, Neanderthal man, had died when he was 40 years old. The remarkable thing was that the skeleton was full of many severe fractures that had healed. So the injuries to this person were severe, including the loss of most of his right arm and hand, and his right foot was so badly broken that it had to have been extremely painful to try to walk on, if indeed the man could walk on it at all. So his people, the Neanderthals, were hunter-gatherers, always on the move, walking probably 5 to 10 miles a day. So they must have been carrying around with them this one-armed, one-legged man. Selecki wrote, that he survived for years after his trauma was a testament to Neanderthal compassion and humanity. This man's Neanderthal community had put him, wounded and broken, at the center. Xavier Le Pichon has lived out a commitment not only to science, but to fragility. He lived and raised his children in an intentional community centered on people and families dealing with disabilities and mental illness. When you put fragility at the center of a community, a new way of life appears. Le Pichon says, in this way of life, people will invent new goals for society, like the goods of communication, openness, and sharing. The person who is no longer capable of direct contribution to the survival of society discovers that he is welcomed as a full contributor, and this welcome profoundly changes the community that practices it. For Le Pichon, fragility is the essence of men and women. It is at the heart of humanity. So, here's what I hear. What if fragility is not simply something that threatens life, but something also that enables life? How do our lives transform when we take a risk and express and own and admit to our vulnerability rather than denying or covering it up? What might we do in this congregation or in the city of Saratoga Springs or the area to center ourselves more on fragility, on vulnerability? And in what ways are you centered on and expressing your vulnerability already? Because I know you're doing some of that. And for all of us to think about, where have we cooled and grown rigid and brittle? Vulnerability is part of life. Vulnerability will bring a life to a close, and vulnerability enables life, allows for evolution. Or in the words of the mindfulness teacher Sharon Salzberg, vulnerability in the face of constant change is what we share, whatever our present condition. So this is my prayer. May we open ourselves to our own vulnerability, for in our vulnerability is our humanity. May we let ourselves thaw where we have become rigid, that we might grow, evolve, and heal. And may we center on the least, the fragile, the vulnerable, that we might work for justice and realize a more humane humanity. May it be so.